Continuing our journey through Sri Vishnu Sahasranama, our adventure, our discovery of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the qualities and the features of Him that distinguish Him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we come to name 756, Loka Swami, which is pretty much the same, but not exactly the same, as a name in the previous verse, Lokanath. And the obvious or straightforward meaning of this name is the master or the lord of the universe. The term Swami is related, comes from the same root as one of the meanings of it is Aishvarya, connected with Aishvarya. So one who, there's a Panini Sutra, Swamin Aishvarya, which equates the word Swamin with Aishvarya. So it comes in the sense Aishvarya. Generally, we understand this word Aishvarya to mean opulence. If we think of the term Ishvara, the controller, it's more connected with his sense of controlling, being the lord of. So the obvious, anyway, Aishvarya refers to sovereignty, lordship, power, wealth, and put simply, Loka Swami. Loka means the world. So it means he's the lord of the universe. Or, putting it around the other way, as Sri Satyadeva Vashishta does, another meaning for the name Lokaswami is one who has the universe as his opulence. One of his opulences is the universe. His greatest opulence is his love. And the universe is the manifestation, a place wherein he enacts his love. The Lord who has the universe as his wealth. Shankaracharya gives the very straightforward understanding, as he usually does. Shankara's interpretations of Vishnu Sahasranama are mostly very basic and straightforward. Not in the slightest to undermine that, but what we can say, the most obvious meaning that may come to our minds. So he says, Shankara says that he is Lokaswami because he's the lord of the 14 worlds. They're the seven upper planetary systems and the seven lower planetary systems. He gives them as the higher worlds as the seven Vyahritis, and then you get into some very subtle stuff with the Bhu Bhuva Swa, the Gayatri Mantra, and we could really, by a linguistic analysis, get into some very subtle understandings here, if we were to investigate that, how the Gayatri Mantra invokes the Supreme Lord as the Lord of all the three worlds, Bhu Bhuva Swa, the middle world, and the three worlds here, as mentioned, as the middle planetary system, the earthly planetary system, the Bhuva and the Swa, so the worlds above and above. And then there are above the upper worlds are the upper worlds, Mahat, Mahajana, Tapa, Satya, up to the world of Brahma. And then we have the Patalas, the Atala, Vitala, Sutala, Rasatala, Talatala, Mahatala, Patala. These are the seven underworlds. So all of these worlds are created by Lokaswami, Vishnu, controlled by him, supported by him, monitored by him. Sarvata Parnipadam Tat Sarvatokshi Shiro Mukham. We can. This verse from Bhagavad Gita speaks of the Supreme Lord as the one who has eyes and heads and faces and ears everywhere. So, Sarvata Shrutimalloke, his ears are everywhere. Sarvamavritya Tishtati, he covers everything. So we can see how all these names of Vishnu Sahasranam, they interact. They're just different perspectives of seeing his glory and his majesty and his love. How, yes, he's the Lord of the universe. He's also the regulator of the universe. He's the indweller of the universe. He sees everything in the universe. Sarvadrik, he sees everything. And everything is, he sees and he oversees everything. Upadrashta, he oversees everything. So in this way, he inspects everything. So this name, it very much fits with the previous name we had in Vishnu Sahasranam, Manya. Who is respectable? Who do we respect? Well, a Vaishnava is supposed to respect every living being. But particular respect is given to those who are opulent, powerful, superior to us. That is the natural order. We should offer respect to those superior to us. Unlike the present-day attempts at egalitarianism, sometimes people complain, why do you spend so much money on worshipping God, building big temples, offering milk to God, why don't you feed the poor? These people who say, why don't you feed the poor, why don't you go and feed the poor? If you're so much concerned with, we shouldn't have any temple. They'll spend money for building huge cricket stadiums. That's what benefit is that? That's just some ridiculous entertainment. And they'll complain, why are you spending so much money building a temple? You should feed the poor. You go and feed the poor. You go. You take all your money and you go and feed the poor. We will worship Krishna. All the best things should be offered to him because he is Lokaswami. Everything belongs to him. Everything we have is given by him. And we offer nice food, nice decoration, a temple as a token of our gratitude to him. That's all. It's a reciprocation. We're not atheists who think that, well, there's just a big bang and here we are and let's enjoy ourselves. No, there's God and he has given us everything. And we have a tendency to worship others. If we don't worship him, if we don't build a big temple or cathedral for him, we'll build a big cricket stadium and worship cricket players. So what's better? Maybe the materialistic people say it's better to have a cricket stadium, or maybe people say, well, let's have both. Even if you have both, don't deny that we should. If you can worship cricket players, why not worship the Supreme Lord, who also gives someone has the ability to swing a bat and hit a ball. That's also given by him. You may say, no, I practice, I train, I do my exercises. But you can't do it without him. Just try and understand, we're not independent. He is Lokaswami. He controls all the worlds and everyone within it. He gives us a little independence. We can use it to swing a bat at a ball, or we can use it to bow down before him. Better to bow down before him. Swinging a bat at a ball gives no actual benefit. It may give a little entertainment to someone. If we're really good, we may be a professional and earn some money. But this is in the mighty waves of time. This is all meaningless. Birth after birth after birth, we're wasting our time. When we come to the human form of life, we have the opportunity to serve Krishna. So build a temple, bow down before Krishna, use our energy. Someone has the energy He has the ability to build temples. Someone has money. So instead of using all that money and thinking, I am the Lord, offer that money to for the service of Krishna. Recognize that he is the Lord. And that will be to our eternal benefit. Someone gets some wealth in this world and they start thinking, I'm so great. I'm so wonderful. I'm better than others. And by thinking like that, they degrade themselves. They misuse their human form of life. If by the grace of God, not simply due to our previous pious activities, by the grace of God, one has wealth, then recognize that he is the source of all wealth and build a nice temple so that everyone, wealthy, non-wealthy, they can come and bow down before Krishna. That was the culture previously all over the world. All the best things should be offered to God. You'll see everywhere, if you go in countries that are traditionally Buddhist, you're just like Thailand has so many beautiful wats. Kampuchea, the Angkor Wat. Wat means, in their language, it means a temple. Vihars, we have Bihar, that the state of Bihar is thus named, so they say, because of the Vihars, or the temples that were built for Buddha Dev. Pagodas in Burma, cathedrals. Up to the present day, some of the best vestiges of the previous civilizations of the world are still continuing civilizations of the world are the religious structures. We have so many times I've mentioned the Vatican in Rome. It's stunning. The Angkor Wat in Kampuchea, Vishnu Temple. So many beautiful, impressive temples here in South India. The relics of the Aztec and Inca civilizations, the huge temples they built, they were for the glorification of God, for offering to God. Of course, in the Aztec and Inca civilizations, they were largely human sacrifices. But at least the idea was there of God. We're not recommending that, but they had the idea of a higher power. It's a beginning. Not recommended. We don't advocate it, human sacrifice, but I'm just making the point that the best buildings they built were those for the glorification of God as they understood him. So Krishna, God, is by far the best person. If you see the richest person on this planet, there's still nothing in comparison with he who is the creator, proprietor, and controller of all the planets. And his wealth doesn't diminish, whereas the big rich man of today, Bill Gates, is very rich today, and he'll be dead tomorrow, and you can't take a dime with you. Whether you have billions of dollars or just a nickel in your pocket, you can't take anything with you. But Krishna doesn't die, so the wealth remains with him. We can utilize our wealth for his service. And he's so much greater than us that the best buildings by far should be built for him. It's not that they should be a little better than others. Nowadays, if at all people build a church, it's hardly distinguishable from the other buildings. Whereas previously, they really made superb buildings. That's proper to glorify him. That is acceptance of the basic fact of theism, the basic principle, acceptance that the universe makes sense. There is some order. It's not just some random scattering of forces which align themselves into atoms and molecules and then some glob and goo which becomes human beings which write big books about how everything comes from nothing and there's no real reason and No. The universe, atheism is based on the principle that there's no ultimate purpose. Theism is based on the principle there's a reason for everything. The universe makes sense. There is God. There is a controller. There is Loka Swami, the name we're discussing today, the supreme controller of everything. There is an ultimate purpose. Life is not just simply some waking up screaming, I was born in a force 9 hurricane, I fell down to my feet in the driving rain, and then you yell and scream for a few decades, and then you finished, gone. No, there is some more to that. Here's a quote from His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. He was speaking to a Baha'i. Baha'i is a sect which identifies itself loosely with Islam and tends to be pan-religious and not really very theistic. And Srila Prabhupada was speaking to a member of this Baha'i organization explaining the nature of God, a simple understanding of the nature of God. Srila Prabhupada said, I am controlling my disciples. My Guru Maharaj is controlling me. His Guru Maharaj is controlling. In this way, we are a controller and controlled. See, I'm controlling someone, I'm controlled by someone. Both, Prabhupada said. I am controlling somebody, but I am controlled by somebody else. This is my position. When you find a person who is simply a controller, not controlled by anyone else, he is God. He is God. Very simple definition. He is simply a controller. He is not controlled. Nobody controls him. Then he is God. This is a simple understanding of God. Ishvara Parama Krishna. Srila Prabhupada just quoted those three words at that point. I'll quote the whole verse, well known, no doubt, to the huge majority of my listeners here. Ishvara Parama Krishna Satid Ananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam. Krishna, who is known as Govinda, is the supreme controller, supreme personality of Godhead. His form is transcendental, blissful, full of knowledge. He has no origin, but he is the origin of everything. He is the cause of all causes. Here's a verse from Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 25, Text 42. Thanks to my godbrother, Shyamasundar Prabhu, for reminding me of this. Madbhayat vati vato yam suryastapati madbhayat varshat indro dahat yagne mrityus charati madbhayat. Lord Kapila Dev speaking, the Supreme Personality of Godhead speaking, it is because of my supremacy that the wind blows out of fear of me, the sun shines out of fear of me, and the Lord of the clouds, Indra, sends forth showers out of fear of me. Fire burns out of fear of me. And death goes about, taking its toll out of fear of me. An extract from the purport by Srila Prabhupada. In the Vedas, it is said, Bhishasmadvatapavate Bhisho deti suryaha. By fear of the Supreme Lord, the wind god and the sun god are acting. Bhishasmad agnis chandrascha mrityur dhavati panchamaha. Agni, Indra, and Mrityu are also acting under his direction. And also the moon, not mentioned there. So we don't, in our Gaudiya Vaishnava theology, we don't emphasize so much the fact of fear of God. but it is a factor also. He's the controller means that there's an element of fear also for those who are not completely in line with him. There's an element of fear also, that if we don't do what he desires of us, then there is punishment also. One of the commentators, Radha Krishna Shastri, quotes in this regard, regarding the name Lokaswami, the Lord of the Worlds, quotes from the Koshitaki Upanishad, Esha Lok Adipatihi. Now, what are these words? It's one word composed of several words. Esha, this, Loka, world, Adipati, the Lord of, we can say. Now, Esha means this world. But I'm now going to quote from a quote given in the Madhva Sampradaya, exposition of this name, Lokaswami. Lokanam Vaikuntadinam Jananam Swami. The meaning of Lokaswami, Vishnu is called Lokaswami because he is the master of Vaikuntha and all other regions and the people therein. So when we say Lokaswami, we tend to think of this world because that's where we are now. But there is the spiritual world, Vaikuntha Loka. That's also Loka. That's also a world. So really, Lokaswami, it encompasses not only the material world, but primarily the spiritual world, because the material world is, after all, subordinate to or inferior to the spiritual world. Now, continuing with or moving toward the Sri Vaishnava commentary on this name, which will all the Sri Vaishnava's commentary on Vishnu Sahasranam will always tend toward the very devotional and very personal understanding of each name. That, yes, he is great because he's great. We respect he's great, he's superior, but even more so, the very fact that he makes himself available to us, if we show a little devotion to him, that is an even greater quality. That if someone is very great by being powerful, we respect them. Manyaha, respectable. But being great, but at the same time making himself available to others, that is a greater aspect of his greatness. That is a more laudable aspect of his greatness. And of course, in the course of these talks on Vishnu Sahasranam, I've mentioned this again and again and again, and there's still almost 250 more names to go through. So no doubt I will mention it again and again and again. And it is astonishing and it is blissful to think of how that Supreme Lord is so great, but he's so kind to us. So let's say it again and again. Gau Gau Puna Gorangera Guna Sharala Karyaman. The Basu Ghosh sings about Lord Chaitanya. Sing again and again the glory of Gauranga. Gauranga making the mind very straightforward and simple, not very complicated. Ibhava Shagar Emana Doyal Nadekye Ekjan. In this material world of suffering, this great ocean of suffering of the material world, such a merciful person, I do not see any other. He comes, Krishna comes, are of his own choice and behaves as if he's an ordinary human being, even though he is the greatest, he mixes with us, well, with the great devotees, and even with the not-so-great devotees, and even with the miscreants to uplift them. Bhagavan is called, now if we just go back a few names in this verse, we'll see that he's called Amani because he's not proud of any of his possessions or his qualities. Means Amani means not proud. Manada, because he honors others, he honors his devotees. And he is Manya because he considers himself worthy of respect because of his relationship of affection with his devotees. And now we come to the name, considering these names, Amani, Manada, Manya, now we came to the name Lokaswami, the master of the universe. And according to Parashabhata, this name, yes, it's because of his superior power, wealth, but because he is the master of love, of simplicity, as we can see from the previous three names. And so he's the best of all, the Lokaswami, he's the controller of all in his kindness and his accessibility. This is the word which Parashabhata emphasizes, solabhyam, which we can translate as accessibility. Ananya cheta satatam yomam smarti nitya shaha tasyaham sulabham partha nitya yuktasya yoginaha. Solabhyam, sulabha. This verse I just quoted from Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, for one who always thinks of me, ananya cheta satatam, without diverting anyone else, yomam smarti nityashaha. And he says the same thing in two lines. Krishna says, one who always thinks of me without deviating, and then who thinks of me always. yomam smarti tasyaham, for such a person, Krishna says, I'm sulab. I'm not difficult to attain. Because he's already a yogi. He's always linked with me. He's already got me. If you already got something, then you don't think how to get it. I already got Krishna. On the other hand, we have the six Goswamis singing, Hey Radhe Vrajadevi Ke Chalalite, Hey Nandasuno Kutaha, Shri Govardhana Kalpapada Patale, Kalindi Vanye Kutaha. They're singing, they're calling out, Oh Radha, Oh Lalita, Oh Krishna, Hey Radhe, Rajadevi, Oh the gopis of Vrindavan, the goddesses of Vrindavan. Where are you? Are you on the Govardhan, on the Govardhan hill, under the wish-fulfilling trees? Are you on the banks of the Kalindi river? They're looking for Krishna. Goshanta viti sarvato rajapure kedair maha vivalov vande rupa sanatano raghu yago shijiva gopalako. In this way, they are calling out, the six Goswamis are calling out Goshanta everywhere in Vrindavan, all around, with pain in their heart of separation from Krishna. We offer our respects to Rup Sanatan Bhatta Raghunath, Sri Jeev Gopala Bhatta Dasa Raghunath. This is a major difference between the Sri Vaishnav Sampradaya and the Gauriya Vaishnav Sampradaya. The Sri Vaishnav Sampradaya stresses very much on Solabhya, how he's so kind and so merciful, we can easily attain him, which is absolutely true. But the Gauriya Vaishnavas, they stress more separation. I couldn't get Krishna. An unusual psychology, you could say. We want Krishna so much, but just by not getting him, we get him. When we have something, then we tend to take it for granted. But by not getting him, by thinking I haven't got him, our feeling for him increases and increases and increases. How does Krishna lord over the worlds? Lokaswami means lord of the worlds. Here's something from the Gaudiya canon, the Brahma Sanhita. Ananda chinmaya rasatmataya manasu yah praninam pratipalan smaratam upetya lilayatena bhuvanani jayat yajasram govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, whose glory ever triumphantly dominates the mundane world by the activity of his own pastimes, being reflected in the mind of recollecting souls as the transcendental entity of ever-blissful cognitive rasa. Lilayatena bhuvanani jayatya jasram. He always conquers over the world by his pastimes, which are reflected in the heart, which are ananda chinmaya rasa, rasatna. They're composed of his pastimes, his personality. It's composed of, it's made up of spiritual bliss and tasty rasa. So it's by this he conquers the world. Yeah. It's not simply by the laws of karma. It's by his love, by his beauty, by his pastimes. This is how he is the Lord of the universe. Now, one explanation given by the commentators is that loka also means field of experience. So Lokaswami can mean the one who is the controller and the director and governor of all fields of experiences of all living creatures. This is something to be thought of, that everyone, every living being, is a kshetragya. Kshetragyam chapi mang vidhi sava kshetreshu bharata. In Gita, Krishna speaks about the kshetragya, that's in the 13th chapter. How every living being is conscious of his own field or his own field of experience. Whereas Krishna, he's cognizant of all the fields of experience. Now, depending on what kind of body we get and the mentality that we get with it, every living being has a different field of experience, and the way we see the world is different. We see a snake. How does a snake see the world? A snake has no friends. There's no, even between animals, you'll find there's so much affection between the cow and the calf, the bitch and the puppies. The snakes, they're on their own. But they have their field of perception. They see the world. They're just living in fear, actually. That's why snakes, we're afraid. They're afraid of others. Snakes. Why am I talking about snakes? I just saw snake season. I just saw a snake the other day on the stairs where I'm staying. Snakes and dogs and cats and insects. So many little bugs in this season in the village area. I'm staying in a village area in India. It's the rainy season, and rain comes, and then so much green foliage comes up, and then so many bugs come into being with the food for them to eat, and then the frogs come to eat the bugs, and then the snakes come to eat the frogs. The snake holes are flooded, and they come up, and they've got frogs to eat. And they've all got their own field of experience. The frog, if he's living in a well, his whole experience is of the well. And not only is limited by the dimensions of the well, that's all he knows, he can't imagine anything else. He's also limited by his range of vision within a certain light spectrum. The frog's eyes, you'll see, they go out like this. They're not like ours, two straight eyes. The birds, like the crows, they have one eye on one side and one eye on the other. So the way they see is very different to the way we see. And even for a dog, so we're told, they see more by smelling. Their sense of smell is more, they relate to the world more through the sense of smell than through the sense of seeing. So in English, we say, I understand something. You say, oh, I see, means I understand. Maybe if it was a dog talking, they say, oh, I smell. I smell, because there's a... So the point I'm trying to make here is that all living beings have a different field of experience. And of course, the individual frog and the individual snake and the individual bug and the individual human, they all have their own, apart from their particular type, Shrotram Chakshu, Sparshanam Cha, Rasanam Granam Eva Cha, Adhishtanam Manaschaiva, Vishayanupasevate. Lord Krishna speaks about this in Bhagavad Gita. It's all in Bhagavad Gita. That according to the type of body that we deserve to get, we get certain types of knowledge acquiring senses. We get the sense of hearing, sense of seeing, Shrotram Chakshu, sense of touch, Sparshancha, sense of taste, the sense of smell. They're all grouped around the mind according to the situation we acquire under karma. So the field of experience, we experience it. Krishna also experiences it because he's upadrashta. That means not only is he seeing from above, but he's also seeing, because there are two birds in the heart, right? There's two birds in the heart. There's the individual soul and the super soul. Sarvato panipadam tat. His hands, his legs, his eyes are everywhere. That means that what we see, he sees. What the snake sees, he sees. What the snake hears, he hears, and so on. So he is the Lord of all the fields of experience. He's conscious of everyone's consciousness. Think about that. It's mind-boggling. That could be developed. The understanding of the Supreme Lord as the supreme consciousness. He's aware of everyone's individual consciousness. Mind-boggling. Baladev Vidyabhushan links the name Lokaswami with the previous name Manya. While he is venerable, because even while he was serving the Pandavas as doorkeeper, messenger, chariot driver, and so on, he is revered by the Pandavas. He is respected by them. That's the meaning of Manya. Why did he act in this way? And Baladev says, because he's Lokaswami, the sustainer of all the universes. And how does that fit? Then we go on to the next name, 750, Trilokadrik. He who moves in the three worlds by holding them and protecting them. This is an inherent attribute of Lord Vishnu. And how much more true is this in connection with his devotees, that he sustains and supports and protects? So he acts in such a way as the servant of the Pandavas because he's Trilokadrik. By pointing this out in relation to the Pandavas, Baladev Vidyabhushan is giving us a Shaka Chandra Nyay, or we see a little bit through, it's seeing the moon by seeing it through the branches of the trees. It's just like getting a little sample or helping something to help us see more clearly. So he acts in relation to the Pandavas like that, and with every, so it's not only the Pandavas, but particularly that's being highlighted here, because of course this Vishnu Sahasranama spoken by Bhishma Dev in the presence of the Pandavas in response to a question of Yudhishthira Maharaj. So these three names are connected. We can go straight into Triloka Drit or Drik, as there's not much spoken by in the commentators by this. It means dharana, holding. It means he, Triloka, the three worlds. He who supports the three worlds, the worlds above, the worlds below, and the earth in the middle. Parashabhata says that he is the one who takes the burden of responsibility. For him it's not a burden, but he takes the responsibility for the support and the nourishment of the entire universe. We should recognize this. Minimal theism is to recognize, even if we think that I want to enjoy this world, which is not a very good idea, but even if we think like that, and there are many theists who think like that, and it's a good beginning to recognize that even if we think we want to enjoy this world, we can do so by His grace. Don't be presumptuous and insulting and neglect the Supreme Lord. At least recognize He is the one who is providing. Give us this day our daily bread. At least recognize. I worked hard and got bread. Yeah, but you can't get bread unless there's rain and unless the whole system was set up by the Supreme Lord for wheat or rye or whatever grain you made your bread out of to grow. And just recognize that. That's all. Minimally we should recognize. He created us, and just like we see in this world, the parents, they naturally take the responsibility of maintaining us, looking after the children. So in the out of a natural feeling of love. So in the same way, the Supreme Lord, out of a natural feeling of love, even in this material world, we're so forgetful of and away from Him and even denying Him, but still out of a natural feeling of love for us, He provides the necessities for us. So Drik or Drit, either way, the next name, 757, begins taken as Triloka Drit or Triloka. In this respect, we can quote from Gita, Atava Bahunaitena Kingyatena Tavarjuna Vishtabhyaham Idam Kritsnam Ekang Shena Stito Jagat. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that with just a single fragment of my vast energies and opulences, I support and maintain the whole universe. So you see, that fits with Triloka Drit. Also, Mai Sarva Midang Protam Sutre Manigana Iva. He maintains everything as the. Well, there's not. Not money, this is not pearl, but you get the same idea, a necklace. This is made of tulsi beads made from tulsi wood. You don't see the thread, but the thread is maintaining it, keeping it in position. So in the same way, we may not see God, but we must understand that He is maintaining everything in this world. It's a simple example. Now, the commentators on this verse, they don't say much about it, on how he's the supporter of the three names, of the three worlds, as if, you know, it's just like, well, it's obvious, isn't it? It's just the most obvious thing in the world that he is maintaining and supporting the world. It follows on from Lokaswami and so many other names. So there I did two names, because the commentators don't say much on the name Triloka Drit, so I won't say much either. Loka Swami, it's a very obvious meaning of the Supreme Lord, and maybe the most obvious meaning. If what do you mean by God? The one who is the Lord of the world. It's the most maybe obvious meaning of the name of God. There are other names which are maybe not so obvious, but there are 1,000 names, and they go, they see different facets of how Vishnu is the Supreme Lord. We have names coming up like Parigraha, which means reins, R-E-I-N-S, like the reins of a horse. And you may think, well, what's, how is that a name of God? Or Nigraha, another name coming up soon, which means one who restricts or obstructs. I have to think about that a bit more. But Loka Swami, the Lord of all the worlds, Jai, Jai Jagannath. We know him as Jagannath, Lokanath, Loka Swami. We offer our respectful obeisances at his lotus feet. And in this way, we can be sure that by doing so, he will be pleased with us. Even if our hearts are not brimming with fully with love for him as we really should be full of complete love for him as he is full of complete love for us. We're praying to come to that stage. But at the very least, we can agree with all theists, whether they be Jews or Christians or Muslims or whatever they may be, that he is the Lord of all the world, and bow down at his lotus feet. And having, well, maybe they don't agree he has lotus feet, but we all agree he is the supreme controller. This much we can agree on. Hare Krishna. Vancha kalpa tarubhyascha. Kripa sindubhyascha. Patitanam pavanebhyo. Vaishnavebhyo. Namo namaha. Dante nidhaya tuna kung pada yoni patya kritvaja kaku shatameda da humbravimi. Hey, sadhava sakala eva vihaya durat. Gauranga chandra charane kuruta anuragaha. Parivada tu jano yata tatava. Nanu mokaro navayang vichara yamaha. Hari rasa madira madati matta bhuvi vilothama natama nirvishama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.